So it's been 20 years since I've really been engaged in pulpit ministry. I left pulpit ministry 20 years ago to become Director of Peacemaking Services for the International Association of Unity Churches. And then after that, I became Assistant Vice President of Integral Operations at the Home Office. But I begin by just basically saying that I left pulpit ministry because I had a problem with people, basically. In other words, I wasn't, being so introverted, it wasn't my nature to really be gregarious and connect up with people, which is kind of a problem if you're a minister. And so I left that line of work and felt called to create a ministry around peacemaking and later around efforts to evolve our movement, our organization. But I say that because during the course of those 20 years where I was doing something else than being a minister in a congregation, I did speak to audiences, Unity and New Thought audiences around the country. And however, I was not connected at all with the typical celebrations that happen in Unity and New Thought centers. In other words, I recall a Sunday that I was guest speaking in Prescott, Arizona, and while I was being getting ready to be introduced to do my talk, which was on the shadow effect, I was going to be talking about how when our shadow, our sense of not enough, our sense of inadequacy, our sense of unworthiness, when that is a limiting belief that is running us, how those limiting beliefs tend to become problematic and cause us to have to have things be a certain way or need to be right. Less than in alignment with the truth of who we are. So in other words, when a limiting belief is eclipsing our attention and awareness, we create problems in our life. So that was my planned talk. But then I discovered it was Mother's Day. And so what do you do with a talk like that on Mother's Day? And it seemed to be totally out of integrity with the because people brought their mothers to church. Anyone bring their fathers to church today? Anybody? Some folks, yes. So the point is that I had to shift things. And so I found what was coming out of my mouth a surprise to me because I basically said that today's talk is called The Shadow Effect and it's all about healing our mothers. All about healing our mothers. So today's talk, for Father's Day, as there's a picture of my dad. He's 90 years old, and I've been spending some time with him lately. And so this talk is really about looking at how it is that it's our role to be on a quest to heal our parents. So that's sort of where we're going with this. And I'm reminded of a story. Many years ago, I had the great privilege of studying under Jack Kornfield and Joseph Goldstein, insight meditation teachers. And I was at a 21-day retreat, and one of those gentlemen got up and told a story about being on an airplane ride and having to talk to a fundamentalist Christian. Ever had an experience like that? Where you inadvertently got seated next to somebody who was probably reading a Bible or otherwise studying scripture, and then you get into a conversation. And I got to tell you that I almost fly Southwest exclusively so I can be on the lookout for Bibles to avoid. Because the last thing I find enjoyable is an argument over scripture and over such things. And so Joseph Goldstein or Jack Kornfield, I forget which, talks about being in such a conversation where this woman was trying to convince him of the dangers of hellfire and damnation. And he remarked to this woman, "Oh, the Buddhist hell is way, way worse than that." And this woman was flabbergasted. "Well, what's worse than hellfire and damnation for the rest of your imaginary life, just suffering like this?" "Oh, but in the Buddhist tradition, we have something far, far, far worse than that." And she said, "What is it?" "Well, you have to come back. You have to come back." You have to keep coming back until your parents are healed. And this woman, she just thought about this, and she ended up becoming a Buddhist convert. Because their hell was worse than our hell. I can't remember why I was telling you that story, but I think it goes to the point that there is some bigger purpose in our life that has to do with helping us recognize that there's something more at stake than just our own healing. There's something bigger at stake than just our own sense of well-being. You know, I saw this slide on Facebook this morning and saw all the wonderful posts. And I tried to really hurry up and find a picture of me and my dad so I could post that. So God forbid that I'm ever not honoring my parents. So there's that kind of dynamic going on inside of me. How many of you have ever gone shopping for a Father's Day or a Mother's Day card and only to go through like 90% of them and feeling like nothing ever, it doesn't fit? Ever had that experience before? Yeah, and so we know we can acknowledge that we all have had this experience of being a child and having caregivers sort of watch over us. And I love this because it said that any man can be a father, but not every man who's a father is also a dad. And I think about that with respect to my children. And I can acknowledge that I haven't been a dad to my kids. I left my kids when they were 3 and 1 years old. I made choices in my life that removed those two blessed beings in my life, and I missed their entire childhood. It's gone. And it's got to have an effect on them, right? It's got to. And so I'm sort of sensing that Father's Day, or our celebration that where we honor our parents, when we're in this dynamic of being a child of a father or a mother and having influence ourselves with respect to our own children or those that we're entrusted with, there is a dynamic that it really is a principle with respect to what it means to be born into this world. And you've probably heard this scripture that the sins of the father are passed down 3 and 4 generations. Are you familiar with this saying? And it's from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Exodus and also Numbers, I think. And the context is basically God says, yeah, my creation is evil and does all kinds of crazy things, but I'm going to forgive it all, but I'm going to make sure that the sins of the fathers are passed down for 3 generations, 4 generations. So it's like we're forgiven, but that then again, at the same time, we're cursed in the sense of we inherit a legacy that gets passed down from father to son, from mother to daughter, from great-grandparent to parent to grandkid, and so on and so forth. And so the it's important for us to acknowledge that we're just not born into this world and then given a kind of life situation, but that something is being created that is generating a phenomenon in this world. And when I say the sins of forefathers or the fathers, I'm not wanting us to think that our moral immaturity is what's passed down to our kids. I'm talking about our baggage. When we think about sin in the Old Testament, it's really talking about baggage. And when we think about God in the Old Testament, it's really about the law or how principle works in our life. So the principle that's operative in our life is that we inherit something from our parents that defines us in no uncertain terms, and that gets passed down to our kids or those that we're entrusted with. This is just a phenomenon. Nothing broken about it. But if we don't acknowledge that we took on beliefs about ourselves, that we had no choice. I mean, I was brought up Catholic, but I didn't get a chance to read a brochure about Catholicism first. Right? And you were probably brought up into some religious context. You probably got your ideas about success or money or relationships from somewhere in your early childhood. The point is that we inherit things that can, for better or for worse, define us. And at the same time, we're passing along the very things that have defined us unto those that are given into our trust. And so very realistically, the sins or the baggage of the fathers or of the generations are passed down 3 and 4 generations. And if you can just look at your own life and see, God, there's a mixed bag of stuff in there, in that, as Robert Bly talks about, this big old bag that we drag along with us, that's all of our issues, all of our stuff. And just think about your own, and then multiply that by 7 billion, and the phenomenon of this creates the world that we have. A world of not enough. A world of haves and have-nots. The things that are going on in the world is an effect of law, of principle, of cause and effect, of karma. And so if we don't appreciate this dynamic, we will not necessarily accomplish what we're here to accomplish. And I'm suggesting to you today in this talk that our purpose is to heal our parents. I'm suggesting that. And the reason why I'm suggesting that is that we have to break the cycle. Somewhere in this chain, either my father or me or my son has to break this lineage of being free from the legacy of not enough, or the legacy of unworthiness, or the legacy of I'm not okay or lovable. That has to be broken. And where is it in your lineage that it's going to happen? Are you going to wait for your parents to kind of get into a greater place? Well, I'm not going to be able to wait for my dad. I'm going to have to do something on his behalf. And what I do on my dad's behalf is to release myself from what I took on from my dad that has defined me in a way that has created some limitation or some lack in my life. And the way that you heal your parents is to take whatever has been your cross that you have borne, or the baggage that you have taken on, and to prove that it is not real. To prove that your sense of not enough is simply a belief that you took on. But when you transform that sense of not enough, you also transform the lineage, the timeline upon which that not enough has been brought into being. So we look at pictures like this, and we can see our own lineage, and in a sense, it's a different timeline than what we're accustomed to. We think in terms of our timeline, in terms of our past, our present, and some desired future. But there's a generational timeline at work, too, that is not linear in the context of past, present, and future, but there is a dimensionalized expression of ourself that lives itself across the generations. And there is such thing as ancestral healing. There is a such thing as us breaking the cycle that gets handed down, because the reality is that while everything that we've taken on and everything that we've passed along has not been our fault. In other words, it hasn't been our fault that we've taken on limiting beliefs. And it hasn't been our fault that we've passed along less than ideal principles to those that we have been entrusted to. And while it's not our fault, it is our problem. It is our problem. Unless we own it as if it's our problem, unless we acknowledge that we have to be mindful of what we're passing along, what we're putting out there, because it either embeds us more deeply in the legacy that we're trying to free ourselves from, or it abdicates our responsibility from being able to be responsible, not be a victim. So there's a measure of our well-being linked to generationally to what's going on in our own personal life. And I'm wanting us to kind of appreciate that, because if it's true that our job in part is to heal our parents, and if it's true that that happens when we free ourselves from the negative consequences of whatever limiting belief we took on from our parents, can you see how when you free yourself from a limiting belief that you took on from your parents, you free your parents from the regret associated with that event or circumstance? Let me say it this way. As a father giving birth to a son and a daughter who are now adults, I am very clear that I have regrets about what I conveyed to them inadvertently in my immaturity, in being unconscious as a father, as a parent, unconscious in with respect to how my influence, my presence, was shaping their ideology, their beliefs, their sense of being. And so as I examine my own regrets, I have to appreciate the regrets that my mom and dad must have had in their relationship to me and my three younger brothers. Understanding that there are moments in their journey where if they could take something back, if they take the words back, or take the indifference back, or take the lack of appreciation back, there could have been something else that I might have taken on instead. And because I know that every parent, regardless of their background or culture or upbringing, would want to spare their child of taking on a legacy that would define them for the rest of their life in not so glowing terms, every parent, I have to know in my heart of hearts, would want to correct that. Well, if our parents are passed on, if they're in another dimension, another life, we may think that they're still abiding in that sense of regret. And I would sense that there is a measure of truth in that until we arrive at a place where we can extend back to our parents, I've been hurt, perhaps I have not been harmed. While I've had this difficulty in my life, I'm better because of it. And so that needs to be our aim, and that's what I'm wanting to move towards. I'm wanting to free my parents of whatever was going on in their experience that might have inadvertently impacted me in such a way that I, in turn, have passed along something that was less than thou art the Christ. In other words, because Mary and Joseph weren't our parents, we got something else modeled to us. And that something else we passed down to our family. So let's see if we can kind of find a place where we can be empowered by this phenomenon, the baggage of our forefathers are passed down three and four generations. Let's begin to understand this dynamic as an opportunity, not something that is a kind of life stacked up as if it's against us. So I'm going to introduce a concept that was developed by a relationship psychologist who is interested in enhancing people's relationship with life partners, but it goes well to being looked at what happens when we didn't get certain things that we needed and the consequences associated with not having certain things happen to us in that most innocent and vulnerable of places that we can describe as early childhood. And so let's just walk through these. The first is attention. So we'll look at the idea of attention, we'll look at the idea of acceptance, of appreciation, of affection, and also of allowing. And so these five A's are something that every human being needs in every relationship. And if these five things aren't happening, something happens in the context of that deficit, as well as what we do to compensate when we're experiencing a deficit of any of these in any of these areas. So let's just walk through it and we'll see how it applies to what I'm talking about. So the first is attention. And so every one of us as a little kid needs to be seen. I see you. Remember the Avatar movie? I see you. Every human being needs to be seen. And it's such a simple thing, but imagine growing up in a family and never been seen by the people that need that you need to see to see that sees you. Know what I mean? So if we didn't get the sense that we were seen, then we didn't get a sense that our presence mattered. Can you see how that's so? And then what about when we didn't have that sense that we're good enough, just the way we are? When we grow up struggling to find evidence that we matter, that we are essential, and that's not coming from our caregivers or coming from our childhood experiences, what happens? What's going on within us? Now, we can get that from our parents, or we can get that from our siblings and our peers, or we can get that from other dynamics. But the question now is that when you don't get the sense of acceptance that translates into a deeper feeling that your presence matters, then there's consequences associated with that you take on, that you inadvertently extend to others because that's all that you have to give. And then there's a sense of appreciation, knowing that what not only what we stand for, who we are, is worthy and of value, but how we express ourselves and what we can accomplish. If we didn't get the sense that, gosh, that was great what you just accomplished, or we weren't supported in being able to celebrate our accomplishments, our successes, but instead got judged or condemned in a way or otherwise diminished in our relationship with our expressing ourselves, then we grow up feeling diminished or guarded. We have a kind of tension in our life that gets passed down into other aspects of our life experience, especially in our family. And then affection. And this is just goes to the very simple experience of being connected to. In other words, were you touched in an appropriate, healthy, loving, caring, intimate way as a child? Were you brought into a sense that your physical self is lovable, is good enough, in that sense that your being, however you are, is loved and valued? And when we don't have that, we struggle to find it outside of ourselves. And we inadvertently, are dragged through our relationships and other life experiences only looking for something that we never received in our early childhood. And then finally, allowing. A sense of being allowed to be who we are. So perhaps you weren't allowed to do certain things, or you weren't allowed to express yourself when you were young. The point is that when we have these deficits in our life, in any of these areas, there is impact. And if we don't acknowledge the impact, if we don't acknowledge the deficits, if we don't acknowledge that the way in which the principle or the law works is that we're going to pass it down no matter what, if we're not passing down our more than enoughness, if we're not passing down our worthiness, if we're not passing down that we're lovable, that we matter, we get something. And we all have to undo that something else. We all have to fix it. No amount of prayer is going to get God to fix that, because that's simply not the truth of us. God's not going to spend a lot of time and effort trying to correct our misperception. We have to do that ourselves. And one of the ways in which we do that correction work or that transformation work is by recognizing the principles that we're here to heal. We're here to bring forth a greater good, and that is transgenerational, and it enables us to be able to know that when I transcend the limiting belief that I took on from my parents, I free them. I free them. But when I live in the victim victimhood or in the separation or in the sense of not enough, believing that that's who I am, if there's any regret associated with that belief, my parents are still subject to that. And it's my work to free them of that. I have to free my parents of wherever they fell short in these areas, because otherwise I can't free myself of where I fell short with my son and my daughter in those areas. And so I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to think about your early childhood experience. And I'm going to just once again review these five A's and ask if there was a deficiency in your own personal life. And if there was in any of these areas, as I mentioned them, just raise your hand. And I'm wanting you to just observe. Just observe what's in the room. So let's begin with attention, being seen. Being seen for who you really are. How many of you felt that that didn't happen for you as a young child? Just look around. And how many of you as a young child didn't necessarily grow up with this abiding sense of acceptance of you're enough. You are enough. Just the way you are. How many of you didn't get this? Okay. And how about getting a sense of validation for your efforts and just really knowing at your depth that you're worthy. You are worthy to receive the abundant life that Jesus proclaimed was ours. How many of you did not get that sense that you're worthy enough to receive the abundance of this world? Okay. And then how many of you didn't necessarily have the connection, the physical contact that gave you a sense of being comfortable within your own skin and knowing that your body and your being and who you are is lovable, so lovable that people can connect up and touch and feel your presence? How many of you felt some shame or some deficiency in this area of your life? Okay. And then finally, how many of you didn't grow up in a permission-giving environment that said yes before and just wondered to see what might unfold with respect to what was bubbling up in you? How many of you got the no before the yes more often than not? Yes. So in observing all of these common things that unite us, we can all say that we've all grown up with the same kind of burden in a sense. But yet the possibility is phenomenal, because as we take on these five expressions of how we can enrich and empower ourselves and our own relationships in life, we need to understand that there's no way that the people in our life can always, in every single moment of our need, be this for us. And as we mature, as we grow up, as we awaken, we take on the responsibility of giving these things not only to ourselves, but to the people that we're called to connect up with, to make a difference in. So as we look at Father's Day as being this mixed bag, it's very complex arena within which our heartstrings are plung in every imaginable chorus, it's important for us to give ourselves some slack, give ourselves a sense of compassion and understanding and knowing that we're all doing the very best that we can in this very complex, often convoluted kind of arena, when all of us can acknowledge that these are things that are we didn't get. Now my question is, what are you doing right now to get these things? And are your efforts to get these things kind of convoluted? Do we get our allowing through controlling others? Do we get our appreciation by being right? Do we get our sense of more than enough by being better than? So there's ways in which we try to get after these things that are equally problematic, because we're not necessarily in a healing, transformative mindset. So that's about all I know. God bless you. Thank you. Come back. Thank you for reminding me. So we should do this together. Okay, you want to announce this?
So we have some discussion questions for you. If you're in a spirit group or if you just want to do this on your own, they're just good questions to ask.
Right, we're going to invite you to look at the five A's and see if there's one of them that's a deficit in your life. And just begin to do your own looking and have a conversation amongst your group about how that deficit shows up for you and affects your life or your relationships.
And the big question is, how are you giving that to yourself now? Because that's really what we want to get to, is being able to give ourselves what we needed instead of trying to find it out there. And how are you giving? Just choose one of them and see how you're giving it to yourself or giving it to others. And so those are the questions.
Thank you for reminding me about that.
All right. Thank you. That was very heart connecting. Appreciate it. So, unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict. Isn't that good news? Really? For love in the presence of hatred. For forgiveness in the presence of injury. And that's what this is about. It's about self-forgiveness, self-compassion, about seeing where we've been in our lives, and no matter how it came